Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Today on Richard Rossi Live, I have a good friend, John Cassandro, who is, I would say, a scanner. And a scanner is someone like myself and a lot of you artists that listen to this show. You know, we were pressured to, after World War II, I think it was, they started pressuring young people that they had to choose just one thing they do and declare their major, and because they wanted everyone to take science and be engineers to build bombs and blow up the world. And we went away from that Renaissance idea where people like Da Vinci did 20 things. You know, he did science and art and journals of many subjects. And Ben Franklin, our founding fathers, did many things. Well, John is a person who is that type of a scanner who scans the horizon. And if he's interested in something new, he has the courage to go for it. By way of just a quick intro, my friend John has done so many things. I won't even get them all probably listed, but he's been involved with professional wrestling and announced professional wrestling. He's hosting a new rock radio show. He's been a drummer. He's been a youth pastor. He's done a lot of different things and overcome a very difficult childhood. So I hope this show encourages a lot of you listening that whatever, you know, past traumas you have, that you can, if you're interested in something new, you can start as a beginner and just go for it. So I think John is now calling in. Let me see if I can get him live with us here. He's calling in from the East Coast. Can you hear me, John? Are you there?
I've got you, Rich. How you doing?
Great, great. Thanks for being on the show today.
Oh, you know what? It's a tremendous honor, man. We've been apart for too long and got a chance to see you after the Christmas holiday, and so this is a great reunion in a lot of ways. The reunion part two.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of people love you from our film we did about healing and healing prayer. There's a thing in the beginning where people are being asked when we're doing this healing service why they're there. And you said, you know, I heard Jesus was going to show up here. I've always wanted to meet him. People love that part every time they see that. People say, whatever happened to that guy? Well, for all of you guys that want to know whatever happened to that guy, here he is. Well, you know, my mind's a little ADD, so I'll probably jump around. But the wrestling thing, I love wrestling. The little boy in me growing up, as you did in Pittsburgh. Now, you're, I think, younger than me, but was Bruno Sammartino still big when you were a kid?
No, Bruno wasn't. Actually, my first remembrances of watching wrestling probably go back to the early 80s. I remember watching Gordon Solie. One of my first matches I remember seeing that was kind of landmark was when Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas they were crowned the tag team champions, and that was a big deal because they were the first ever African-American tag team champions in wrestling. And I remember Blackjack Mulligan and watching, he put this claw hold on and they put a big red X on the screen. And, you know, those were... And then, of course, you know, Madison Square Garden, you know, Jimmy Superfly Snuka jumping off the cage against Bob Backlund. And,
that was fantastic.
Those were my earliest remembrances of watching wrestling. And, being a young person at the time, it was just amazing to watch. And so have been a fan ever since.
Yeah, you know, Snuka, Superfly, you know, my son Josh, you may remember my son being little blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid, he's now 22, but he was real into Superfly.
The one who was now the singer for the Aeons.
Yeah, the lead singer for the Aeons. Well, he loves Superfly, and he used to wake me up when he was 3 or 4. He would climb up on the dresser in our bedroom and do a Superfly move. He'd dive off the dresser. I'd be sound asleep. I would wake up in the mornings to Joshua flying, this little pint-sized toddler, flying through the air, landing on my chest with a oof, and he would just yell out, Superfly.
Now, didn't I see him in the most recent Meet the Fockers movie where he was jumping off the top of the bunk bed?
Maybe.
I thought that was priceless.
Yeah, that was awesome. When you started announcing wrestling, was it still fun and childlike, or did it change your perception of wrestling at all doing the announcing, or what was that like?
Well, I started to understand some of the background of professional wrestling you know, once I got into high school and understanding the story, understanding the theatrical aspect of pro wrestling, and, you know, a lot of my background, you know, in ministry has been in children's ministry and youth ministry, and so I always loved being hype guy. And so when I had an opportunity to go to Georgia in 2009, and work with All Star Wrestling Network, they granted me an opportunity, which was independent promotion south of Atlanta. And there's just something about being able to come out and to get a crowd energized and kind of get them ready for the show. There were some real childhood flashbacks, getting to introduce and meet guys like Lex Luger, Tommy Wildfire Rich. You know, there's names like that that came to mind that was really significant for my childhood that kind of came full circle in the time that I got a chance to work in wrestling when I was down in Georgia.
So, when you met some of those guys, John, did you feel like a little boy? Did you get nervous around them because you went back to being that little boy that idolized them, or you were fine? Or did you get that little kind of nervousness?
Well, you know, when I have to remember back when I met Lex Luger, I was actually doing a Christian wrestling event in Jackson, Georgia, and Lex had come in. It was one of our first shows that we did, and halftime during the show, Lex came out, and of course, I was the ring announcer, and so, you know, getting a chance to introduce the total package, Lex Luger, you know, I almost kind of felt like I was back in the 80s and I was watching WCW, and, you know, it was just almost kind of a flashback to that time and kind of two places at once. And so, but also at that time I knew that, you know, the Lex was really strong in his faith, and he had been through that valley of the shadow of death. And so to hear his story, you come to a point where you mature beyond the facade and the cover of wrestling. You know, and with it being a Christian outreach event, we were there for a particular agenda. And so, there was that brief moment that I had that childhood flash, but at the same time, it was the man, not so much the character, that was the draw that weekend. And so about a week or two after, it was really exciting, just kind of like coming down and just like, wow, you know, I got to announce, you know, Lex Luger, and that was just such a great opportunity. Meeting him, Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton from the Rock and Roll Express, Tommy Watts, Iron Ridge. Georgia is just a fantastic hotbed for pro wrestling, and so a lot of who's who, you know, came through in the time that I was working down there with a couple promotions.
Wow, what an experience. Yeah, and a lot of those guys are very strong with sharing their faith. And Heartbreak Kid has a pretty amazing story, too, in terms of his spiritual journey.
Yeah, he's down in San Antonio, down at John Hagee's church. And, he's never been one that has shied away from the faith. Steve Borden also, my gnome is Sting, has been another one that's been really active, you know, in being involved in the industry. But, you know, the industry is very pressing on a lot of guys that are involved in that business. You figure these guys, you know, if you're in the upper echelon of like a Impact Wrestling or WWE in particular, they're working 300 dates out of the year, and that really becomes their life. And so they, you know, finding a way to exist. And I would encourage anybody that's listening to this. Sting had a movie that he did, just basically documenting his life and his transition into accepting Christ. And being able to separate, being an actor, you understand that, you know, there's a definite identity that you have on screen, then there's an identity off screen. When you're in professional wrestling, a lot of times it's hard to differentiate those personalities, and, you know, and you appreciate guys that are in the music industry and actors and everything because, for example, if you're a Kiefer Sutherland, it's hard to separate Jack Bauer. And 24, I mentioned that particular because it was such a huge thing for the Super Bowl, and I'm a huge 24 fan. But for me as a fan, it's hard to separate Kiefer Sutherland from Jack Bauer. But for in his life, I'm sure there is that separation. But in pro wrestling, it's such a hard thing because you're always in the public eye. And so I would encourage you, even if you're not a wrestling fan, be praying for a lot of the guys that are really struggling to find, you know, to maintain their faith, and because they're facing it every single night. They go into a different town, and It's a really serious, it's a serious mission field. It really is. And
yeah, it's a really tough life. Mickey Rourke's film The Wrestler, I think, helped to shed some light on what you know what it can really be like. Well, flashing forward to now, it's pretty exciting. Is this Saturday the first launch of your new rock and roll radio show?
Actually, it'll be Friday night. We're going to do an encore presentation on Saturday evening. It's the Pulse Radio broadcast. It's going to be everything that is the extreme side of Christian music. And so we're going to pay homage to classic rock, which doesn't happen in Christian music anymore. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, you've got a radio station like WDVE or major cities all over the country, you know, they bask in classic rock, and there's so many Christian artists that have kind of gone into the shadows and have not received their dues. So we're going to be doing classic rock, hard rock, metal, extreme metal. That'll be Friday night from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, and then we'll do an encore presentation of that show on Saturday night. The same time, and again, that's going to be on CrookedHaloRadio.com, which is a brand new 24/7 internet-based radio station based here in Pittsburgh.
So anybody can listen anywhere at that site, CrookedHaloRadio.com?
That is correct.
Wow, that's awesome. So that'll be Eastern time. What time is it again? Is it 9 p.m. Eastern?
9 p.m. Eastern until midnight.
Okay, so those of us in the West Coast, it'll be 6 to 9, East Coast, 9 p.m. to midnight. You know, one thing that ties a lot of the things you've done together, you've been a drummer, the wrestling, the radio DJ, is I get the feeling, you know, you love all things theatrical as I do, that you, as a kid, you probably just were really into anything theatrical, wrestling, music, and you've been able to you know, follow those passions. Would that be the case? You know, growing up, you just had
I would say music would probably be the thing I think that would probably stick out probably more than any of those.
Mm-hmm.
I did do some theatrical work when I was in high school for a short period of time. Music, like I said, has really been kind of through and through for me. I mean, it started in fourth grade. You know, when I did band. You know, saw a picture of Motley Crue for the first time when I was 9. You know, and then going into high school, 7th grade, you starting to hear bands like Def Leppard and Van Halen and The Who and ZZ Top. And, you know, so, and then, the, you know, a lot of, and I'm sure we'll touch, just kind of my ventures through childhood was exposed to a lot of different things. But probably more so than anything, music has always been a very central part of who I've been from the earliest times that I can remember.
I'm so excited about your show. I think it's so needed. It really fills a void and a niche there. Now, I'm a little out of the Pittsburgh loop. This show, Richard Rossi Live, started on the Christian station 101.5 there when it was WPIT. That got sold to Word. And I don't know if Word is still the case, but I think they're a Salem station. So my guess would be they're probably pretty middle of the road Christian station, and I don't think they're going to be rocking it like you're going to be rocking it.
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I've actually approached the folks at Word about doing a program similar to that. As a matter of fact, you mentioned WPIT. One DJ that I had a particular instance to spend some time with, there was a show I remember called Saturday Night Light, and it was on Saturday nights. Greg McAtee, and Greg is still in town, and he's still involved in doing some radio stuff. But I remember going up to the studio and, you know, sitting with him on Saturday nights and just absorbing, you know, watching, listening, really being a part of that. And that passion grew and grew. Radio actually started for me. I had desire for it beforehand, but my first year of Bible college, actually, there was a campus radio station in 1989, and got a chance to go up and mess around with vinyl at the time, and station manager came in and was like, wow, you've got a really great, you know, technique and, you know, your presentation and everything, and so that started there, and I've had several opportunities since then, and so this is kind of getting back on the bike, I guess you can say, for me, getting back into doing radio. you know, such a culture of kids, there's an aura that comes with that genre of music that would just really want to impact from a ministry standpoint. You know, you've heard the saying that the vehicle always changes, but the message stays the same. And being a drummer and being a fan of heavy music, you know, to me it's just the natural option to want to resort to doing a platform like this. But again, just at the end of the day, win the loss at all costs. And so that's our agenda and our goal going into the show.
Have you, because I know you've worked as a youth pastor and been in the Christian world, in churches and everything, have you run into any of the fundamentalist mindset that rock and roll and that beat is of the devil and you can't marry the two? And have you encountered that kind of thing, or have you been kind of spared that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, a majority of my background has been in the Pentecostal circles and the Assemblies of God. And so I think, you know, the Assemblies has always, I think, attempted to kind of stay culturally relevant. You know, but in my ventures around, absolutely, I've run into people that have taken on that mindset and even to this day do that. And, you know, and the thing that I've just realized at the end of the day that arguing doesn't accomplish anything. You know, people are going to have their mindsets, and you can't argue them out of it. You can't convince them out of it. You know, all you can do is agree to disagree and run on the common thread that, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and, you know, we have the common goal of seeing souls come to Christ. And so we don't always agree on the method, and, you know, and that's something that, you know, I think the church has imploded at large because we've, you know, tried to convince and we've tried to bicker and argue with each other and how the project needs to be done, as opposed to coming together on the common thread and the common goal. And so, I've stopped arguing with people over it. You know, I know what God's called me to do, and just stay in the course.
Well, that's a really wise choice, because I think that mindset of the really super conservative Christian mindset is very emotional. In other words, they're not dealing with logic a lot of the time. They're dealing more with there's a lot of fear, a lot of emotion tied to what they're saying. And once they get to that emotional pitch of this music's of the devil, I mean, you can't really, it's really hard to have a calm discussion, you know.
Right, and like I said, I mean, those individuals have to work it out, you know, with God. I mean, we're all part of the same body. Unfortunately, a lot of times we have been and are we're fragmented, and because of those issues. And like I said, it doesn't do any good to argue over issues that you know, God has to bring revelation to all of us individually. And you know, I've got too much in my own life to point fingers at me, let alone to be pointing fingers at anybody else. And so the only thing I can do is just stay the course. I know what God's called me to do, and I know the passion that He's given me, and I just want to run with that and, you know, hit the finish line at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, are you probably pretty excited about Striper getting back on track, huh?
You know, it's been an exciting ride for those guys. I've been a fan, you know, ever since 1985. They've been through some turbulent days. They just released their best album in 30 years. As a matter of fact, this year marks the 30th anniversary of the release of the Yellow and Black Attack, which was their first album that they did. And it's hard to believe Michael just turned 50, lead singer, and Robert's 53. And they're getting ready to hit on a big tour. Michael's working with George Lynch right now, working on a project with the guys from working on a separate project, but also going to be working with the Dawkins guys. And then he's releasing a solo album that comes out in May. He's got an autobiography coming out, and then of course Striper going on tour and getting a chance to reconnect with those guys in June as they come back through the Pittsburgh area is going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, listen to John's show this Friday night. Correct me if I get anything wrong. This Friday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Coast Time at crookedhaloradio.com. I got that right?
You are right on, sir, right on.
Yeah. Well, it is 30 years. You're right for Striper, because my wife and I will be married 30 years this year. And when we were newly married, we met in a very conservative fundamentalist Bible school, Liberty University, where they thought Striper were from the pit of hell because they were the rock and roll. And I remember, you know, Sherry and I were in our little home in Lynchburg, little cottage we rented, and over one of the tabloid TV shows came, "Are they of the devil or are they of God?" And it had Striper with their yellow and black, you know, and it was just, people couldn't get their heads around it. In fact, you know, way back even in the 80s, I got persecuted by the conservative fundamentalists for writing music with my friend John Walker, and they were protesting, wanting to stop one of our performances. And, you know, I was trying to rationally tell them that going way back to, you know, even people like Martin Luther used the beer melodies and beer songs in the German pubs and put Christian words to them, that the form in and of itself is amoral. But I'm really excited about your show. And you've overcome a lot in your personal life, I know. You know, you never knew your biological dad. You went through a lot of foster homes, a lot of group homes. What's the toughest thing you had to overcome about, you know, your background?
Wow. I would just venture to say letting go of the past. You know, flashes of memories. It really infiltrated my life in so much so that it caused the demise of my family. You know, my wife, she attempted to reach out to me. We divorced for 3 years, and then we remarried. And the second time through was not a favorable. The playing field was not favorable for rehabilitation the way that we should have experienced. You know, we went up to Flint, Michigan, to youth pastor, which if anybody knows, Flint is one of the highest population murder capitals in the country, and they never recovered from the auto industry fallout, and just really bad situation. And we went up, and it was about as third world country as you're ever going to experience anywhere in the U.S. And took a church in Tennessee to actually bail us out of that situation. The church disintegrated basically, and it was just a really rough situation. It's what you call the school of hard knocks. It's not the stuff that they teach you in Bible college. But if there's one thing I guess I want to probably communicate through our time together, Rich, is that the greatest thing that we can do as believers. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. I do want to share this because I think this is probably the central crux of, you know, what I wanted to get a chance to come across. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me and when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. And when you come looking for me, you'll find me. And it says, yes, when you get serious about finding me and want more than anything else, I'll make sure that you won't be disappointed. And that's God's promise to us. And the key word in our discussion and tying this in is giving us a future. And we can't step into blessings of what God has in store for us, that means ahead of us, if we're hanging back. And so, you know, we all have a story. We all have our backgrounds. You know, went through abusive relationships. My mom was not the best at finding healthy relationships. You know, saw a lot of things I probably should not have seen as a kid. Spent a lot of times in bars. My mom died in 1995. I think, you know, because of the relationships that she was in, I felt like she was stripped of her life. A lot of what ifs. And you, as individuals and as believers, we need to come to a place where we can break through, you know, as Paul, you know, in the Bible, he talks about, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do, the things I don't want to do, I do, and there's this warring that's going on, but he says the one thing that I do is forgetting the past, forgetting what's behind. I had one pastor when I was in Nashville, he had, and I use this to this day, had said that our past is a point of reference, not a place of residence. And the thing for me is it became a place of residence. And because of that, it affected every area of my life, from my work to my relationships. I feel like so much more could have been accomplished in my life. But because of that, you know, my wife at the time, she attempted to reach out to me and to come alongside me, but I didn't want to be a burden for her. And that place of residence overrode God's hand in my life, wanting to take me by the hand and direct me into the future. And so kind of my theme song, you know, 2 years after the fact, Matt Redman has a song called Heart of Worship, when the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come, you know, longing just to bring something that's worth, that'll bless your heart, you know, coming back to a heart of worship, everything is stripped. And sometimes that's what it takes in our own individual lives, is to be completely stripped of everything. My family was my identity. And when I felt like I failed, you know, I felt like I was the guy that was supposed to have the noose around the neck with a boulder and, you know, thrown into the ocean. You know, I've got a 19-year-old daughter. She's going to be 20 coming up on Saturday.
And, wow.
You know, it's...
Happy birthday to her. What's her name?
Her name is Mickey.
Well, happy birthday,
so,
Mickey, if you get to listen.
Yeah, I can only hope. But, you know, you can only learn from your past mistakes and realize that, you know, that God's got a plan, a purpose, his agenda. It doesn't end when our life seemingly does. Life goes on, and you know, and I just know that, you know, there's a finish line that has to, that I have to reach. And so I stumble more than anybody in the process of getting to the finish line. But you learn God's grace. And I'm so unbelievably thankful for grace. I'm so unbelievably thankful for mercy and for healing and for forgiveness. I'm the hardest person to ever forgive. You know, but I also realize that, you know what, I've what would my daughter want for me? And that is to be whole, to be well, and to be doing what God's called me to do. And there's too many lives on the line. The world is too crazy now to sit in my corner and rock back and forth. I've got to do everything I can to get up and keep moving. You know, that's what God's called us to do.
Well, I tell you, John, I'm really proud of you. I love you, and I know that you've been through the fire, but, you know, after the crucifixion comes the resurrection, and I'm really happy to see, you know, after all the ups and downs that, you know, you're doing a lot of exciting things. So this Friday is the launch of John's new radio show. Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern time, you can hear his new three-hour rock and roll show at crookedhaloradio.com. And I love that name because that speaks to the fact that, you know, we are imperfect. We do make mistakes, but we still have God's anointing and blessing of that halo on our lives. Oh, wow, they're giving me a wrap-up symbol. Well, it's been a blessing to have you. Yeah. I'm so happy we got to have you. Man, this 30 minutes just flew by. I want to let our listeners know to tune in next Monday, the 10th. We're going to have Academy Award-nominated actress Sally Kirkland on next Monday, 12 p.m. Pacific time, an actor's actor, and she's been with the Actors Studio, taught. Sally's taught a lot of great actors, such as Sandra Bullock. Bullock has been one of her proteges. And we're so happy to have had you on, John. God bless you, and have a wonderful first show this Friday. I'm excited.
I appreciate it, Rich, and hopefully we can do this again sometime soon. We'll grab a cup of coffee and we'll do it all again.
Well, we sure will, John. I am so happy to be back in touch with you after many, many years of losing touch, and to have had you on the show has been just such a blessing. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Rich, and God bless you, brother.
God bless you, and I'm so grateful to be with all of you, and I look forward to being with you next Monday. We're going to have, as I said again, Oscar-nominated actress Sally Kirkland next Monday, 12 p.m.